This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. Get trained up. War on the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons, tune in. We're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe.
In Sweden, we say good morgen, good morgen.
Can you come any closer to your microphone?
I can.
Ah, that's perfect. You got it right there. Perfect. You say good morgen?
Yeah, good morgen. Yeah.
What do you call moron
it's,
over
it's
there?
It's good. Morning is called morgen.
Okay.
They say moron. It's one of those languages where they shorten things to make it more convenient. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, how is
good,
your Swedish
good morgen
school?
Becomes good morgon.
How is your Swedish coming along? You still taking classes?
I actually finished the classes.
Man, congratulations to you.
Yeah, you know, I tested into like the middle, and just by chance, there was a national exam 2 weeks after I started. I just really delved into it, passed that, and then to pass the fourth course, I just barely made it. And even that was like just, it was the teachers have a right, which they've never exercised before, to pass someone even if he doesn't officially pass all the tests. Yeah, and they failed me on the speaking, and so I didn't get enough points. But then they came back through and they were listening. I saw this teacher who was one of the people who sat in on my oral exam, and just staring at me while I was speaking to the other students in class, like before they announced the results.
Yes.
And I knew, I was like, right there, God is opening her heart to see, like, I can't speak. Because what had happened is the woman who came in, the other woman, not this particular teacher I just mentioned, had a bias against me.
Oh.
She didn't. She was convinced I was going to fail the speaking test. And when she came into that test, she gave me this topic, and see, normally they pick them at random, but she didn't. She like flipped through them, and I thought, well, that's odd. And she picked one and gave it to me, and it was like, discuss. The thing is that the topic, like the Holy Spirit had been telling me, I needed to learn vocabulary for it. Like basically, I needed to discuss like an engineering course. I'm like, how am I going to discuss an engineering course? I've never studied those words, and I just said like, I can't discuss that. Well, actually, first they just said, you know, any course. So I started talking about cooking, and she's like, no, this is not a course, like cooking.
Uh-huh.
I said, I asked you if I could do an unofficial course. I was telling her how my wife taught me how to make borscht. So, and I was just nailing that because I had prepared for it, right? I was just crushing it. She was like, no, you, this is not the topic that's allowed. And I was like, I just asked before I began, right? So she didn't like it. She didn't accept my excellent performance, and then stuck me with something I couldn't do, like whatever. But they passed me. Yeah.
Dude.
So officially I'm done. Yeah. And then the Holy Spirit told me, like, no, don't continue. I have other things for you. So,
dude, that is exciting.
I'm pursuing yeah.
Well, congratulations to you. Shoot. To learn any new language is admirable. And, you know, let alone, you know, they tell you you're at the medium level. I mean, dude, that's fantastic. You're doing great. Folks, we're excited to be here with Evangelist Robert in Svetlana Avila, coming to you from Sweden. Do you want to open us in prayer today?
Absolutely. We pray, oh great and mighty God, that you will bless this show, that you will bless the listeners who have come here to draw near to you, oh great God. We pray, Father, we know that you first called to us, and then we call to you, and your word says that if we will draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And I ask you, oh great and mighty King, to draw near to me, to draw near to each of the listeners on this show, to draw near to Shannon and his family. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless Shannon Davis to produce the Omega Man radio show. I understand that he just reached 8 years. I praise you, Lord, for you are the one who is able to bless a man when he takes up the path that you set before him. And we thank you, oh great and mighty God, that you bless the Omega Man radio show. And I know that one day, Lord, this show will take off what's the mathematical word I'm looking for? Exponential curve. This is what you showed me years ago, Lord. And I know that your word is true, and one day the millions more people will listen to this show and be blessed. And we praise your name, O great God. Hallelujah and amen.
Thank you for that. Yes, we just hit a 8-year wedding anniversary. Praise the Lord. And then June's going to make 14 years on the year. I'm like, wow, man.
Oh, 14 years.
Oh, yes. Okay. So married 8 years, just had my 8-year wedding anniversary on April 25th, but the program we launched in June 22nd, 2010. So by the grace of God, we've made it almost another year. And so praise the Lord. We'll just keep going as far as we can and give the Lord Jesus Christ the praise, because I didn't think I'd make it to 100 episodes, let alone almost 11,000. I did the calculation that we got enough right now. Shoot, I'm just retiring after this program. We're just going to play one program a day for the next 30 years. We got enough. Just kidding. I would be bored. Well, folks, praise God. No, we've been called to keep going until Jesus comes, all of us. Okay, with that, we're going to get started with this program. It's live. Welcome aboard. Today is Tuesday in America. Is that right? Tuesday, April 30th, 2024?
Yeah, it's the same here in Scandinavia.
Okay. Yeah, I had to do a calendar check here. And we're going to get started. Hey, by the way, as you're getting started tonight, how y'all been since last time?
Fabulous. Yeah, Svetlana's brother is in the hospital. She's visiting him. He's been slowly dying for 5 years, so.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
it's okay.
We'll lift him up in prayer before the program is over. What's his first name?
Sasha.
Sasha, okay.
Or Alexander.
We'll have prayer for him before the end of the program. Yeah. With that, the mic is yours. Take it away, my brother.
Okay, once again, you know, I think I'm going to speak on one thing, and then the Holy Spirit shows me something in the night before the show. Same here. So I'm going to get to that in a bit, but I'm going to cover two main things today, and one is this issue of earthquakes in the end times and in the scriptures, and why it's important to understand what an earthquake coincides with and what it kind of indicates, that we can understand where we are. Earthquakes are going to increase the end time. We know that. I'm going to just talk about that a little bit. But the main message today, this message is called Unbelievable Future Evils, Earthquakes and Genetic Manipulations. So, you know, I didn't take my notes. I even kind of forgot that, you know, they have earthquake weapons now. It's been many decades already since international agreements on the precession of war have talked about not just nuclear, biological, and chemical, but have also talked about, open quotes, plate tectonic weapons, end quotes. So earthquake weapons they can use to irradiate and heat, add energy to a known fault line or some other place that has potential to move and to radiate it until it does move. So that now you hear about these low depth earthquakes. Well, that's what it is. That's a plate tectonic weapon using HAARP technology or other things that I've never heard about yet, right? And they're causing these earthquakes. So a lot of things, it's becoming obvious over the recent years. It seems to me that a lot of things that are going to be the biblical events, men cause them. Like men are creating these things. Like the Satanists are going out to bizarrely fulfill God's word, right? God warned us all these things are going to happen. But I think that, at least for me, I didn't understand like the enemy is going to do them, right? Although that seems to be a message throughout scripture that when Israel was deficient, refusing to put God first in rebellion, rarely is it God's hand coming down and smiting them, although God has done such things. Usually it's an enemy comes and executes great evil against the people to remind them like, oh, we do need God. That's right. Let's get back to God, right? So that he can protect us and save us from the evil that also it shares this earth with us. Okay, so some years ago, the Holy Spirit started showing me this thing. It's very bizarre. And the point of this message, as with every other message I've ever given, is that, hey, you should know God. If you don't have a personal relationship with God, what are you waiting for? He wants to have it with you. It's totally free. It's a great blessing. It will change your life in every capacity for the better. Any area of your life you let him into, relationships, health, business, investing, sports, whatever you're doing, you invite God to come be your friend in that area of life, it's going to get better. I promise you. He's going to tell you, like, don't join that team. Don't invest in that thing, right? Don't marry this person. Run away, right? When I was younger, right, my life would be in a different place now. If you had listened when you were, you know, there's this, oh, I'm just going to say it. It's absolutely silly. Just nuts kind of a saying. People say, well, all the mistakes I made, they brought me to where I am now. So, I thank God. Well, in all things, praise God, sure. But don't thank God for that. He didn't do that to you. You did it. I did it to myself. We did it to ourselves. We made those bad decisions, okay? Sometimes God will send you into a place knowing you're going to pay a price, right? But you're going to learn something out of that. And ultimately, it's going to make you better in your ministry, in your walk somehow, right? So there's that. But oftentimes, the reason we suffer is our own bad decisions, all right? Why did Israel get invaded by Babylon? Their own bad decisions, things the king did that he should not have done. Don't show the gold to the Babylonian emissaries, right? So there are certain things, right? Don't take a census, right? So we can bring evil onto ourselves. Okay, now, he showed me this thing called a transformation. Now, a transformation is when a human being somehow, and listen, at the end of this show, I'm going to get into this. I'm going to show you how they are already doing this. It's kind of incredible. You may not want to believe it, but you can look it up. You will find it. But it's called a transformation, changing one creature into another. I'm not talking about macroevolution or some nonsense. This does not happen naturally. It takes a conscious mind, right, a being that can organize and do things, that has its own independent thoughts, to come in and manipulate something else to change it. That's what happens. Okay, so I saw these dreams. I'm just going to give a brief overview in a minute. But these dreams show this thing called transformation, and the people who refused were hated, and those people were called dissenters. And at first, I couldn't remember what they were called, but I knew it was this really evil word. And then I listened to a show of yours, Shannon, where you had Carla Boutaud from South Africa on. She has a great ministry, prophetic ministry. And she was sharing with you on your show how she had seen this same thing, transformation. She was using the exact same words to describe the process of a human being turning into something different. And she said it was called transformation. I was like, yes, I've seen that as well. And I had already spoken about it on your show. Or I think maybe that was the exact same day I was going to speak about it. I don't remember. And then she said, and the people who refused were called dissenters. I was like, that's the word. As soon as she said it, I recognized it. So that's what's going to happen. So now you have kind of two people reporting the same message. You can go find that other show. I don't remember the title of that show. But this is something that's coming. So the scientists, they are working on it, and I'm gonna overview that a little bit today to give you something to look at. But again, God has shown me these things, so when they happen, I'm not going to be shocked. I'm gonna be like, eh, you know, I knew that was coming. I know what that is. You know, I know what this thing is. That there's an engineered plague. It's fake. I know. God showed me this was going to come. I'm cool. And you need to be cool as well. And how do you do that? It's very simple, my friend. As I previously stated, you need to know the voice of God. If you don't know it, start praying. Start reading the scripture. Look at who is God. Understand who he is. And start talking to God. Ask lots of questions. I don't understand this scripture. I don't understand this. Lord, can you help me in this place in my life? Can you help me get a promotion? Can you help me get a better job? Should I keep this or lose that? Start asking lots of questions. And God will start to speak to you. And you will understand, I believe, very quickly, yes, God hears my voice. He knows me. He loves me. All those things the Bible says about relationship are true. Okay. So now I hope I've really established that clear, what the purpose of any message is. All the Old Testament prophets, they wanted people to understand who is Jesus. So the purpose of all prophecy was that you would understand who is Jesus. Then when Jesus came, you'd be like, okay, this is that. You'd understand what's happening, all right? So understand what's going to happen in the end times. People are going to be challenged, and you need to put God first. That's it. If you want things to end, people have to repent of evil, turn back, and put God first. That's how the coming evils get lessened, get reduced, come to a conclusion, okay? That's what everyone needs to do. Now, I'm going to share this one specific dream. Now, the Holy Spirit had shown me twice before in dreams, and part of what the angel explained was 500 years from now. They will say that this, when President Bill Clinton bombed Afghanistan and Sudan, an angel showed me in a dream. As it was happening, I was asleep in a hotel in Germany, in Cologne. And they were bombing, and it was on the news. He had told me, turn to this channel, leave it on. And he said, now go to sleep. I fell right asleep, and he showed me the stream. He said, 500 years from now, they'll say, this is the beginning of World War III. And I woke up and I saw, I was like, well, that's interesting. Why would he say 500 years from now? Why will it not be 500? I didn't pray about it. I just thought about it a lot. You know, why 500 years? Then I had another dream sometime later, and it was the same thing. 500 years have passed, and this. And I was like, why 500 years? And then finally, after another couple of years, I finally prayed about it. I was like, Lord, why 500 years? And this is the dream. The dream I'm about to just overview for you is the dream that he showed me. And in the dream, this man is taken and moved back in several jumps through time, or in advance in time, and shown what's going to happen. And the first thing that happens is he moves forward, and he ends up in this huge kind of open bazaar, and it's covered by one very large metal building. And there's like little booths everywhere, you know. And he's going about, and he meets some people. And basically his experience shows him that there is some anti-white racial tension, that all the other races kind of prefer each other over white people. So that's his experience. And he's like, he doesn't understand that, right? So then he moves forward again, and it shows him that there are earthquakes happening in this. So he moves forward a few times through this market, and more earthquakes are happening. And then he ends up in the market, and it's completely closed. The market's closed, and there's a sign that says the government has shut down this building because of all the earthquakes, and no one can use this as an open market anymore. So what happens is the commerce system, the same commerce system that will be used to distribute food, becomes more and more controlled, more and more restricted by the government, and they will use the increasing number of earthquakes in the world to do this. They'll say, you can't have this building. It could collapse at any time. So, you know, it's not safe. That's what the sign says. You know, it's not safe. So you can't have an open market. You know, you can only have the government markets. So now I'm going to get into, before I finish the rest of that dream, I'm going to read these scriptures. Now, there are a few here, but it's going to be worth your while, I promise you. So generally speaking, when there's an earthquake in the Bible, it coincides with some kind of a significant event. And usually there's an event, something happens in the spirit, and then something happens in the real world, or our world, okay, the earth. So Matthew 28, verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door." All right, so this is when Jesus is resurrected, Matthew 28, verse 2. There's an earthquake. That's something that we normally don't think about when we read the scripture, when we discuss it, but there was an earthquake. So a major event happens. Jesus is about to emerge after 3 days from the tomb, fulfilling numerous scriptures, things that Jesus has said to the disciples that they didn't understand until after. An earthquake comes, the angel comes down, rolls aside the door, right? Boom, an earthquake and a major spiritual event, a major event for Christianity through all time, right? Now, Isaiah verse 29 and 6, "Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire." So that last part especially makes it clear that this is a reference to the second coming. Jesus will come, everything behind him, right? The tares first are gathered, then the saints go up. They've been previously marked during the period of the tribulation. The saints go up, and then behind, as Jesus is crossing in the clouds, people go up to meet him in the clouds, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast everything is moving. He crosses from east to west like lightning. To me, that analogy seems to mean that it happens very, very fast. They go up in the twinkling of an eye. That agrees with it. And behind him, the sky and the land are torched. I think that doesn't mean every square centimeter, but the places where the tares were previously gathered. And you can read about that part in Revelation chapter 14, right? The tares are gathered. The saints go up. And then the tares are harvested, the second sickle, swing of the sickle there. Okay, so Isaiah 29:6 is talk that flame of devouring fire lets you know that, again, there's an earthquake and it's the second coming. All right, earthquake, Jesus comes out of the tomb, earthquake, second coming. So earthquakes are a big deal. So the increase of earthquakes in the world that we're kind of seeing now, that will become more of a big deal in the future. Just understand, spiritual things are happening, but it's okay. It's okay, because God told me these things are going to happen, and what it does for me is it increases my faith, because once again, the word is confirmed. Once again, the warnings from God's servants are confirmed. The words that God is giving to thousands of people all throughout the body of Christ, all over this world, in every tribe, tongue, and nation, are being confirmed. So I'm okay. When I see the earthquakes, the only thing that happens to me is I grow stronger in the Lord. That's it. I keep my eyes on Christ. All right. Now, Matthew 27:54. "Now, when the centurion and they that were with him saw the earthquake and these things that were done." So there's, this is what happens. This is the crucifixion, Matthew 27:54. What all happened? The veil of the temple of the Lord was torn in two. Rocks broke. Rocks just broke in half. They were rent, the scripture says. Graves opened, and the saints came out and walked around. I think God is sending a clear message. This is not a normal event, right? And the verse ends saying, "They," the centurions, "feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God." Everything they claimed, whatever arguments were before, that's done. This is the Son of God. We're convinced. So God's sending a clear message. So after the crucifixion, anyone who denied Jesus, they didn't do it for reasons of logic or even pragmatic reasons, because experience told them, hey, this was a supernatural event. Even if someone just died and a rock cracked in half at the same time, I think like, whoa, there's something happened here in the spirit. There's some spiritual significance to this. But it says rocks, like plural, like I don't know how many thousands, just cracked in half. The temple the veil in the temple of the Lord split in two. Everybody loves that verse. It means that now we have more direct access with God after the crucifixion of the Lamb of God, right? The dead people got out of the graves and walked around. Okay, you might, that rock was just happened to break at that time, or there just, who knows, there must have been something in the weather that caused thousands of rocks to break, but you can't you can't ignore or justify dead people coming out of the grave and walking around. And not just any dead people, the saints. They were saints, people known to be belonging to God. Okay? So people understood this, something happened. Even the Roman centurions, men trained, bred, who lived and espoused a life of violence against their fellow man, they said, this was the Son of God. All right, so, boom, an earthquake happens with that. Part of God's message, this was my son, was earthquake. So earthquake, we understand, is a big deal, right? This wasn't originally going to be part of the message, but when I got here, the Holy Spirit was like, do this. So we're having it today. Now, one more, this is going to be worth it. Now, there are a lot more in Revelation, and you should go through Revelation and read about the earthquakes, because and I want you to look for this particular description. And there was an earthquake, there was never before any as great as it, and never again will there ever be, right? That means this is the single greatest earthquake in all of history, okay? It happens three times, the sixth seal, seventh vial, and seventh trumpet. That, my friends, is a key that God put into Revelation for you to understand how things align. Now, anybody who reads Revelation and tries to understand it quickly grasps the fact this is not in chronological order. It's not. So how do you align it? How do you unlock it? How do you start to understand? You have to look for where God uses the wording. All right. This is something that God showed me by Revelation as I was studying, and it's there and easy to see, okay? And that it's not the only one. There are other kind of tumblers that you can turn into place to unlock God's message in the Revelation, okay? So, Revelation 11:19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. I don't even know what that means, my friend, but that sounds like a big deal to me. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Now, that description right there is the one you're going to see three times. All those things. The lightning, the voices, the thundering, the great earthquake, and great hail. And hail right here means meteors. Does not mean big ice. Don't be deceived. The evening news, they love to show giant ice balls and say, it's biblical hail. And then you get Christians saying, even the news can't deny, you know, the truth of Revelation. No, that's not what they're doing. They're deceiving you. They're making you think that meteor, that hail in Revelation means ice. It doesn't. It means meteors. When the meteors come, they don't want people to start thinking, like as I was sharing previously, that, hey, this is another confirmation of God's word in the Bible, because that's going to happen. Meteors is another thing, not for tonight's message. Okay, so you start seeing all these things with the earthquakes, and this is what God was showing this guy. He's taking him through. This is my whole vision, is this man jumping through time. And one of the first things that the angel wanted him to understand was these earthquakes will come. All right? So as the earthquakes come, it begins to confirm that this message I'm delivering today is true. Okay? That's just one way God has always done it. How do everybody know that Jesus was the Messiah? Well, he fulfilled all the words given by who? The prophets. And how do we know the prophets were true? Because they prophesied things that earlier had come to pass. So we knew the word was true. You know, Jesus said, nobody can testify only of themselves. But I am here, and the kingdom of God confirms the things I say by healing people, and therefore I am verified, right? So there are two testimonies of Jesus, himself and the Holy Spirit, who cast out devils, right? So the same thing with the old prophets. They have their own word, and then the fact that it's fulfilled, right? So you kind of get two points of fact verifying these people. So now, and then all those prophets talked about Jesus, right? So and then you go on and you see in Revelation 18, a couple things happen. Now, this is kind of a bit of an aside, but it's important, so it's worth a minute here. In Revelation 18, it says, you know, hey, come out of her, my people, lest you suffer with her for her iniquity. And then you see that Babylon, later in Revelation 18, Babylon the Great is destroyed. That is the United States of America. So at some point, there's a point, seems to be maybe possibly after this earthquake, if 16, 17, and 18 are fully in chronological order, right? So after this great earthquake, which many people believe will be a pole shift, right? Because the description says, and the mountains are no more, and the islands are not found in their place, right? I'm sorry, the mountains are not found in their place, and the islands are no more, right? So how can they not be where they were? Because the whole crust of the earth moves, it rotates, and that this is called a pole shift. In recent years, we've heard about the scientists talking about the polarity and the magnetic field of the earth is shifting, and the earth's axis, which used to stay in a tight 7-degree circle around the earth, has been wobbling, right? So the people start seeing the sun and the moon in different places. That's because the axis of the earth is tilting to a greater degree than it has in the past. Like when you spin a quarter on a tabletop, a coin, and it starts to spin, you see this tight little spot on the top of the coin. And then when the coin gets ready to fall over, right, or if it's a sphere floating in free space to maybe tumble, that little dot starts to move around in an ever-increasing circle, and it moves faster as it gets closer to the collapse. Same thing happens with a sphere held in place by magnetic field and the motions of the galaxy and everything else. All right, so too complex for my knowledge. But that is what many people who have studied this believe it will be. This one great earthquake will be some kind of a pole shift, and that would explain why things are moved. Okay, so now the next thing he sees is he sees this man jumps again through time after all the earthquakes and the buildings are condemned and the open markets are closed. He goes forward in time again, and he sees – and now at the time that I received this dream, I didn't understand everything, but the Holy Spirit started filling the gaps later. But he moves again, and he sees these people. It's a group of people, all adults, mixed genders, mixed ethnicities, and they're moving out of a wooded area into a small town that is immediately adjacent to woods. So they're not exposed for very long to anything from the surface, like a drone or a satellite. And they move down this street, and this town is there are weeds growing up through the cracks. It's been abandoned for a long time. But before it was abandoned, for some reason, chain link fences were put up between all the spaces between the buildings. If you've been in an older American city in the Northeast, these houses looked somewhat like that, but with a wider kind of alley between the buildings. And every alley was blocked off, but even the chain link fences had since begun to lean over and fall over, and they were in somewhat of disrepair. You know, a good chain link fence lasts 50 years, so I don't know how long it's been since the towns had been abandoned. But these people sneak into the town, and they go behind this one particular house, and here there's the second reference to racism. One of the people in the group is a black man, and he pulls back this piece of chain link fence for this blonde woman to cross through. And he says, you know, who would have thought that this is all it would take to end racism? And then they laugh together because they think that's funny, right? So then she goes through, and they go into the back where there's something that looked like it maybe was an easily built plywood kennel for dogs or maybe chickens. And they sleep in that. They don't go into the houses, but they go into this back thing, and they sleep there for the evening. And then before the sun rises, they go back into the woods. They wake each other up and go back into the woods. So I didn't know what they were running for or what they were hiding from. But the next scene shows what they feared. So I see that, and this is where this transformation comes in. So I see that this woman, the blonde woman, has been captured. And the people inject something into her arm. And then she collapses onto her knees, and she's weeping, she's moaning, she's just horrified. It's like the worst kind of terror, because this is the thing that she wanted to avoid by living in the forest and abandoning all civilization. And her right arm begins to transform, and it changes into this kind of a blue hand. And then it reaches out. She doesn't do this herself. It stretches. It reaches out, and it grabs this rock and comes back. And she's just horrified, right, that she's become this person, this thing that has happened to her. But the dream also shows that she continues to live, and she eventually accepts who she is, and she lives her life like that, right? But it also shows that later the level of transformation increases, so that part of the front part of her face even transforms to look like this blue bird, like complete with a beak and everything, that she can transform like this. I don't think she's always in that condition, or maybe she is. The dream didn't show, but it showed that she did transform. Because I've had other dreams that show that the transformation can kind of go back and forth. Now, I'm not an expert on any of this, but I know people talk about, I think they're called the shapeshifters or skinwalkers, some people call them. Like, there are a lot of people who investigate these things. They're much better experts on it than me. But this is what I've seen. So the Lord has taught me, like, I don't need to second guess anything he showed me. Just share what he showed me. And, you have to pray and ask God if it's true. That's the first thing. Never just trust anybody, me or anyone else, because they said so. You always want to pray about it, right? So this is what happens to the blonde woman. This is what the guy who's traveling through time, this is what he sees. And then he moves one last time, and it's far into the future, and the time jump or whatever is happening to him, he ends up on top of this hill, and he sees a group of people walking out of an area of woods down a trail, and they're carrying tools that you might use in your home garden. A little rake, a little hoe, a little pick, right? Things that you do to work the earth, maybe grow some food or something else. And they're carrying these type of tools, and they're just walking. They're walking like any group of people you would see who were tired. Most of them had their heads down. I don't think they were even chit-chatting. They were just walking. They were tired. Their clothes looked old and worn and out of shape, out of use. They maybe hadn't been washed for some time. They look bedraggled, these people. And this guy is watching. He doesn't understand what he's looking at. And then after a while, he thinks, well, where I am. So he lays down, and he's looking off over the peak of this hill. And he thinks, well, where I am, I'm kind of exposed. You know, maybe someone can see me. And as soon as he thinks that, all these people in this group, their heads turn as one, like a machine. And they look right to where he is, exactly to where he is. And they start running right for him. And they are saying, dissenter. And the way they say it is so filled with hatred, like they want to get him. And I understand, like, they want to either kill him or make him as they are. Actually, I think that's even explained to me in the dream. Like, it's explained to me, like, this is their only goal. And when they're activated like this, they have no choice over it. They're completely mind controlled. Like, I understood that in the dream, but I didn't understand how it was happening. Later, the Holy Spirit taught me, like, how that happened. So these people run toward him, and he gets up and runs away, and other groups come out of the forest, come out from other places, all running directly toward him. Like, even though they couldn't see where he was, they knew where he was. Because when this happens via the nanotech hive mind system. So these people in the forest, these other working groups, they knew where he was because information from the people who did see him transferred to him. But how he was initially spotted, that I still don't know. Maybe there was a machine flying overhead, some kind of drone or something. I don't know. Maybe, I really don't know. Maybe there's a tower there that could read thoughts. I don't know. But somehow he was detected, and this group that was nearest him immediately knew his location and moved as one unit. So the end of that dream showed the mind that controlled these people. And it was, and this is the thing, like, I'm just sharing what I was shown, right? This was not something I was into, not something I studied. I only started looking it up a little bit after this dream. Showed me was a what at the time in my notes I called a lizard man. But since then I've seen that people call this type of a character a reptilian shapeshifter. Like, this guy was in charge of their minds. And this is why, if you look in, now I'm going to read a bit from Joel chapter 2, right? This is the day, verse 1, the day of the Lord comes, it is nigh at hand, right? So they're talking about the approach of Jesus is soon, right? And just a minute ago, I was sharing with you how these earthquakes are also a sign of major spiritual events and a sign of the coming approach of Jesus Christ, right? So all these earthquakes are a sign of it, right? So Joel is saying the day of the Lord is soon at hand. So he's establishing the time in history that these words are relevant, okay? And he says, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like. So there's never been men before like this, right? So there's going to be some kind of a man, and I believe that these are modified, genetically modified people controlled by nanotech, enhanced by nanotechnology. The iron part and the human is the clay, that God took the clay and made Adam, right? So we are made from clay, iron mixed with clay, nanotech mixed into people, humanity, right? A great people and a strong, there have not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Okay? In verse 3, we see that these things destroy everything. Before them, the land is like Eden, beautiful, food growing everywhere, a life to be had, right? Behind them, it's desolate, burned black. Okay? Verse 7, still Joel chapter 2, they shall run like mighty men. Well, how did the mighty men run? Well, if we are to believe the story of the Afghanistan giant, the people who witnessed that said he moved so fast. He was huge, but he moved fast, right? So they shall run like mighty men. Seems like they run powerfully, like the giants. So if you don't know this already, in the Bible, when they say mighty men, they mean men who were substantially taller than the normal sized person, right? They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. That description right there, that matches what I saw. They didn't jostle each other. They didn't bump into each other. They held their rank position. Their positions in line and with equal spacing to the others were held perfectly as they ran. If they changed angle, they all changed angle instantly and held that as they ran. So that they were always in a single line, and they always ran together. The groups were small, like 6 or 7 people each, but that's how they ran. So I'm looking at this. So I've seen this dream, and I'm seeing parallels in the scripture. And this is one of the reasons that you don't just read the Bible one time, like, okay, I did that, you know, check mark. No. You need to keep going back to it, because as God teaches you, you begin to see things, and then you put them together, and you begin to understand more and more and more. The Bible becomes more valuable to you. You understand how accurate it is, and your personal relationship becomes more valuable to you because it's backed by the scripture. You start to see, and so you're getting this verification of your relationship, what you're hearing in prayer and seeing in dreams and visions, and then and receiving by word of knowledge, revelation. And then you're seeing it in the scripture, and you're opening up, God's unlocking the scripture, showing you his meaning, showing you some of, you know, what more is going on. So you start to see the value of the scripture. You start to understand greater the value of personal relationship. Now, yesterday, the Holy Spirit gave me this analogy. The way these people run into battle, like, they don't care if they will die or not because their minds are not controlling them. The mind of, and it's called the master. Now, Carl Buttad didn't mention this part, I don't remember. But in my dream, he was called the master. And I hate to say it because it sounds cheesy because there was a cartoon movie made about this, but he's the master mind. Like, he's the one mind who's master over the others. And all the other minds in the nanotech system are slaves. And these terms parallel to computer technology, in which in a group of computers, one computer provides the timing for all of them so that they can communicate, break down information, truncate it, send it out over a line, and then reassemble it inside the other computer. That's how information is sent machine to machine. So they have to reassemble it using the proper timing. So all the other computers are the slaves, and one is the master. And this biological entity, this reptile, this lizard man, this reptilian, whatever you wish to call him, I don't care, But he was demonic and evil. He controlled their minds. And anybody who was not them was enemy, and they violently hated the dissenters and wanted to either murder them or force them to become as they were. So this was the analogy the Holy Spirit gave me. A teen boy, he plays a computer game, right? He's got a little character on the screen, and he plays that, he kills it, and if it dies, he doesn't care so much. He wanted to achieve the objective or whatever, level up. That's how much he cared. He just forgets about it. That's how much the reptilian, that's more than the reptilian will care about the people in his care. And that's why these things will come and come hard, because it doesn't matter to the reptilian, to the master. He doesn't care that they die. It means absolutely nothing to him. So they get into formation. They're forced into it. They lose their own control. And this is why everyone should avoid anything they're putting into your person. When the government-controlled food comes, you want to avoid that as much as possible. Try to get all of your food from your own garden if you can, from small family-owned producers, and avoid all of the big manufacturing box products, food products. Avoid that as much as you can, because they're putting subcomponents into them, and those things form this nanotechnology, and you won't have a choice in it. All right. Okay. I could talk so much about that, but let me continue on this one message here. Now, I have seen other dreams, as I mentioned earlier. In fact, when the nanotechnology starts to engage, it first starts with people's right hand. Their hands transform, and people, they can't control it. They don't understand what's happening. They struggle with it. They're able to resist it, in some cases at least. But then after time, they can't control it, and it happens despite them. So it's the same as this blonde woman that the time traveler saw. It starts with the right hand, and they don't control it, right? So there are two things that are going to be happening. One is somehow the alteration of genetics, but not only genetics, something else as well. And I'm going to talk about that. And this is really the high point of this message, because it just seems like, let me say this. Biologists have discovered, they've known this for a long time already, that genetics, despite what they teach in the university, despite what they say on the internet, what atheists say on the internet, genetics do not control or even influence in any way your appearance, which they call your phenotype. They say, genotype begets phenotype. That's what they say in the Campbell's Biology University textbook, the most popular title. But it's not true. And biologists know this. So if you really want to learn biology, you can't read the textbook. That's what they want the masses to think and believe. You have to read research papers. The research paper author, his name, his career, and all of his hopes to be great and to get a patent and become a millionaire, they rest on his name. He will not put his name on something he does not believe to be true, unless he's in the cabal and they're going to pay him to do it. And of course, they reward them for the lies. So there are false papers out there. But the majority, the vast majority of paper, easily 80% or more, are people printing what they really believe. So you can read those and you get some real science and some real knowledge when it comes to biology and the state of research today, right? So they have figured this out. Genetics doesn't tell how big your nose is, how thick your eyebrows are. Genetics doesn't control that. There's something else. So in 1998, a man named Robert Becker printed a book overviewing his whole career's research, and it's called The Body Electric. It's a great book. He talks about some of his battles with the status quo, the powers that be within the research community, and how difficult it is to get funding if you're doing something different. But he talked about how he learned that the body has an electrical component. And this electrical component is extremely important when it comes to both healing and regeneration. So the human body can regenerate a little bit. We know that we get two sets of teeth, but those are with us when we're born. We know that you can lose a fingernail. It can regrow. If you cut your skin, it can heal perfectly and without any scar, if it's not too deep. So we have some, the kidney can regrow. So we have some regenerative properties, the human animal does. But some creatures that didn't go through the bottleneck effect of the Great Flood, creatures that are marine animals that live under the sea, whose populations weren't reduced, they still have excellent regenerative properties. So one of these creatures is a little flatworm called a planarian. And the planarian, as far as anybody knows, is immortal. It never dies. So this creature, like other creatures, have a certain type of a body cell. It's called a neoblast. So neo means new, right? And this neoblast, it can create a new cell that can divide and reproduce. So if the body goes through some massive stress, you lose a lot of blood, or you get a severe injury or something, the neoblasts go into production and start making new, fresh cells. And those fresh cells repopulate your body, and they start making all of the little molecules that your body needs, hormones and such things, to heal and to renew and refresh and regenerate and continue to look young and feel young, right? As that system deteriorates, this is what we call aging, this aging process. So you have these neoblasts, and what they figured out is, and this is a paper published in 2012. It came from the University of Dresden in Germany, and also in conjunction with MIT. So a lot of, over the years, the things that the Holy Spirit has shown me about nanotechnology, the weapons they will use to try and hunt down men, I've seen all of those being developed at MIT. And now this thing is with the transformation of people. Again, it's associated with MIT. And to a lesser extent, well, actually importantly, other campuses in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Okay, so this paper is called The Cellular Basis for Animal Regeneration. I'm just going to read you a little quote here. The capacity of neoblasts to produce large numbers of dividing cells, to repopulate planarian tissues with dividing somatic cells, that's just body cells, I mean dividing body cells, and to produce cells spanning germ layers was confirmed with transplantation experiments. So germ layers are the basic three layers, endoderm, mesoderm, and ectoderm, right? So sometime around the blastomere phase of the growing fetus, right, the cellular state, those three cell layers emerge, and they all have very distinct outcomes. They're differentiated to known cell types, right? So they're saying, like, this neoblast can produce all of those. One neoblast can produce any of those, and anything within any of those three types. So it means it can produce anything. It can produce a brain cell, a nerve cell, a heart cell. A neoblast can do that. These things are the center of regeneration for a person, and also they have the same type of cell in this little tiny flatworm, the planarian, right? So what they're saying is, if we somehow remove all the neoblasts from the planarian, which they can do with radiation, they can radiate him and kill all of his neoblast cells. So now the planarian, before, he could regenerate all he wanted, stay eternally young and never die, but now he's going to die because he can't regenerate new cells. So when his cells wear out and get old and diffuse and come apart, he dies, right? So the planarian, who was forever young, now he's going to age and die, right? Because they radiated him on purpose, okay? But if they take just one neoblast cell, just one, normally they have many, they have at least 254. They've taken some poor little planarian, cut him into 254 pieces, and every single one of them regrew a whole new complete planarian that itself would also make new neoblast cells and can live forever, right? So that's how regenerative the planarian is. Like, these things are like almost invincible, right? You can put them in a blender, and you just end up with far more planarians, right? Same kind of an effect with starfish, right? You cut one in half, they think they killed it. Nope, now it grows into two starfish instead, right? So they have this level of regeneration. But you can kill off all of his neoblast cells, and he can no longer regenerate, because that is a critical component, at least, or the necessary component, perhaps. And they found, well, if I just go to a healthy planarian, I take one neoblast cell, and I put it in this sick guy that I radiated, he'll totally heal, and he'll be fine. That neoblast cell will regenerate everything, including the other neoblast cells it would normally have. Now, here's the clincher part, right? So, but he will still be a planarian, but he's now going to have the genetics of the other planarian that he came from. But he will still look the same. Why? Because they call this his morphology. His morphology was not changed, right? But they've now figured out that this electrical, this bioelectrical component, and it's really bizarre. There are films now they have. A frog egg is maturing. It's dividing. It's going through fission, forming 4 and 8 cells. And at some point, right before it forms the blastomere, when the first kind of the gut forms, right? Suddenly, there appears an electrical image of the face of a frog. Where does that come from? The scientists do not know. They can't explain it, and this is what they say. And so, I'm sorry, this is really funny to me. This is really funny to me because they don't believe in God, right? So these are the atheist researchers, and they say, well, evolution baked that in. This is what they say. It's baked in by evolution. Okay, this is their terminology. This is their thinking. All right. There's no God, right? He didn't create the frog. Evolution baked it in. That's where this light comes from. Evolution, right? Just this it's like this mystical entity, this godlike entity called evolution, right? That's their God. Evolution. Evolution just, I can't explain. Evolution did it. That's where it came from, right? Okay, so. The space appears, and that's what the animal ends up looking like. They figured out that they can alter that, and they'll get a different animal instead. And that, my friends, is the basis of transformation. So they're calling this morphology. That morphology is different. And they have already done this in laboratories. They've taken a growing creature that was supposed to be a salamander, and they've made it be a frog. They've taken a frog and made it come out to be a salamander. They can change the morphology. And here's the other thing they figured out. They can take a living creature, a living planarian, they radiate him out, and they take a different type of planarian. They take his neoblast, put it into the sick one, and if he gets injured later when he regrows, he will regrow to match the morphology of the donor, not the receiver. So there's sexual reproduction where you need two to meet together and produce offspring. And there's also fission, asexual reproduction. And planarians have actually both types. So there's planarians in Japan and Asia and in the Americas, and they're all subtly different. They have different sizes of heads and different behaviors, right? But they figured out that they could radiate a sexual planarian, put a neoblast from an asexual that divides by fission, put it into him, and when the new one is created, completely replaced with neoblast cells, it will now no longer reproduce with a sexual partner. It will reproduce by fission. This is what they've learned. So you can make a sexual creature into an asexual one, but they're now also doing experiments where they can change it from one creature into a totally different type. So now we're starting to see, and a lot of this stuff is already at least 10 years old, and that's what they've allowed to be published. Every lab has their secrets. They have things that they don't want to publish because they want to advance it into the patents that make people into millionaires and billionaires. They want to advance it into there before they start to leak things out. You always have to be a few levels ahead before you publish something really important because the patent, you want to get the patent. Okay, so this is what has happened. So that's what they did. They changed creatures. And so now what if you have some really powerful neoblast from a creature that's totally different? So you'd have to kill off someone else's cells in some kind of a process. I don't know how they plan to do that. The towers send radiation. Who knows? But then you have to get this other cell into people somehow, which means it's going to have to break your skin. A needle is very good for doing that. Right? And you get a new creature in the end. You can transform, right? But what if you had a neoblast, and this is completely just a wild guess. This is me speaking here out of my own mind. What if you had a neoblast from a shape-shifting reptilian or some other foreign non-human species? And what if you got one of those and put it into a human? Could you transform them? According to these experiments, the answer is yes. But here's the other clincher, and now we get into a little bit into predictive programming in movies. I've seen so many movies, a few anime. There's a series called The Witcher, and the creation story for these superpowered humans is that they went through something as they were a child. They were given certain things injected into them, and most of them died. But the few who survived became super beings. And in these experiments that they do, in 130 subjects, only 7 survived. So they radiated 130, put the neoblasts in. Most of them died. 7 survived, but emerged as a new creature. They didn't create a new creature, mind you. They took the design, the programming that was already in a different one and put it in there. And then, so you can also alter the morphology. So this is a bit of a different thing. You can alter the morphology by altering their bioelectric, their magnetic field, altering their makeup. And then only after they're injured and they regrow, it will regrow according to the new shape. Okay, do you have another guest in the next hour, Shannon?
No, sir. So you take whatever time you want.
Okay, great, because I have a clincher story here.
Keep going. Take
again, your time. I didn't even know that God – I didn't realize that God was preparing me for this message, but a few days ago, I stumbled across by accident this interesting story. In 2016, there was a young woman named I think something like Cheryl, but it's an Indian name. She's from India, and she was in a bus crash, and sadly, she lost both her arms, were crushed, and she lost both her arms above the elbow. So she healed up and she went in and applied for a double arm transplant surgery. And by coincidence for her, the same day that she went in, some young man had been killed in a motorcycle accident and he was a donor. So they grafted his hands, 20-hour surgery, onto this young woman. So she had a man's hands. They were just a little bit large for her. They were hairy, and he was much darker than her. She was a light-skinned Indian woman, and he had a much darker skin. So she had a man's larger hands, hairy, dark in color. But over the years, something happened that the doctors didn't expect at all. The color lightened up until it matched the girl. And it's like several shades lighter. If you look it up, there's pictures. Her name is like Shreya, maybe Shreya. I think that might be it, Shreya. And but you can find it if you look up the keywords here. And then the hair reduced, also stopped growing hair. So you can write that and say, well, you know, pigmentation is maybe biological or something. Well, is it? You know, how biological is that? You know, every cell replaces in 7 years, so you know. But shouldn't the roots that grow the hair in the arm, shouldn't those stay? You know, how does that change? Now, but here's the clincher now, and this really supports this whole idea of morphology. The large man's hands actually became smaller until they were her normal size, because this bioelectric component is rebuilding the hands, forcing them to be smaller. It's regenerating. And this is how, like, bones – you know, when I broke my clavicle when I was a kid, they said, oh, don't worry, this thing will regenerate, it'll replace everything, it'll be fine. Like, we don't need to straighten it and put it out together. And that's what happened. You know, instead of having a big lump, because they let the bones overlap and heal like that instead of putting them end to end. And they said, oh, it will fix, I forget what I think it's called remodeling. It will remodel, right? And that's what happened. Like, there's no bump there now. It's a normal clavicle, the same straight and everything, right? So the body knows what the shape is supposed to be, and it will form it. They've done so many experiments with this. As a frog is growing, they intentionally move the group that's going to become the eye. They move it over back into the middle of the head. And as the body grows, the cells will move the eye back to where it belongs. They can scramble everything, and the body knows where it's supposed to be because of this bioelectric component, right? So there's this other aspect of growth that's called morphology. It's not in the genetics, it's something else. And they can manipulate it and cause one creature to become another creature. So they've done another experiment with planarians where they altered the morphology of one planarian, and he was a certain type, but he stayed the original form. But then when they injured him, so like this girl had been injured, right? She lost her arms. So they injure the planarian. They cut him in half. And when he regrows, the replacement form matches the altered morphology, not the morphology he was born with. It matches the altered morphology. So in order to do this, they will have to destroy people's neoblasts or at least get the foreign neoblast in there, because there have been studies where they showed that somebody had one cell type and they received a blood transfusion, and the blood actually goes to war with the other blood. And the person gets really sick until one blood type wins. And if the donor's blood type wins, which actually happens in like 10% of cases, the person kind of changes a little bit. They take on a bit of a new personality because the Bible says the soul is in the blood. So it's a little bit of a scary thing, you know, to get a blood donation or even to donate blood, because what does that mean? Right? What is the significance of that? I would still receive a blood transfusion if I needed one, but I'm saying there's something going on spiritually, right? Like, I would definitely use a lot of prayer along with my blood transfusion. So there's a lot going on in the science, and there are warnings that are coming through the spirit. But I'm not afraid. I'm comfortable. I sleep great every night. I enjoy each day. I spend time with my wife. I like to read the Bible. But I don't know why, but sometimes I break out in spontaneous praise songs at home, right? I don't live in any fear at all, and neither should you. Okay. Some people say, like, oh, you teach these things and it's like fear porn. You know, I've heard that, you know, people looking for prophecy of doom and gloom, and people say, it's fear porn. No, that's not the intent here at all. God is warning us because he wants us to know, hey, these things are coming, but stick with me. Trust me. It's not going to be a surprise. It's no surprise to me. And if you're seeking after me, it's not going to be a surprise to you either. So this, the advice is simple. Keep seeking God. Draw near to God. Read your scriptures. It's in there, even if you don't see what it really means, right? Like the disciples, they didn't understand everything until after it happened, right? But God will warn us. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He will prepare us, all right? We're heading into interesting times. But remember, we will do greater things than these, right? There are God has power, and he's going to show his power. The enemy thinks it's going to go one way, but it's going to go very differently. This is what I see, this is what I expect, and this is even what I'm looking forward to, that God's people are going to do some great things, and I hope that you will be one of them. Start praying for things to happen. Prayers don't go nowhere, especially a prayer from a righteous man. And how do you be righteous? Start resisting evil. Start drawing near to God. Become more and more righteous. Your prayers will have more and more effect. Prayers are not equal. Some guy who's been a heathen his whole life, his prayer is not going to have the same effect as yours. All right? So start, you know, drawing near to God and watch the difference in the outcome of your prayers. And seek God. Pray for the gifts of the Spirit. Receive them. Start seeing what God will show you. And be excited. Because the more and more you walk with God, the more and more you understand, when the temptations come, I won't be deceived. You know, when they say, take this mark or die, I won't think, oh no, where will I get my food? How will my family eat? No, I know. Somehow God's going to do it. I don't know. But even if I were to starve to death, that's better than taking this thing. I know that because I know the Bible is true. All the experience in my life in walking with God has shown me over and over and over again, repeatedly, his word is true. He knew what is coming. Relationship with God is real because God is real. And his word that says he wants to have relationship with us, communion always, fellowship, not just eating a wafer and drinking a sip of wine. That's not real communion. That's a deception, a replacement. Real communion is always. That doesn't mean pray, sit on my knees and pray 24 hours a day. No, that means when I pray, absolutely, I'm with God. But when I'm at play, when I'm at work, God is also with me. I will be all with you always, God said. So I know that that's true. I don't have to question it. I thank God for it. And so should you, my friend. So different things are going to happen. We're not worried about them. We know in advance. And when they do happen, we just know God is true. God is real. God is with us. Praise God, right? That's the message, Shannon. There's going to be transformation.
Yes. You're
already learning how to do it. There are evils in this world. And don't doubt them. But instead, trust God. So, again, the message of this show is called Unbelievable Future Evils.
Unbelievable.
So, with regard to this future evils.
Okay.
Yeah. Earthquakes and genetic manipulation. It's a bit long. It's six words.
Speaking of earthquakes, I got an alert to my email today from the State Department alert system, and they said there is a massive volcanic eruption here in Indonesia. Now, it's not close to me, but it's on another island, Sulawesi, I think it is. So they had already had some tremblers, but then this one really erupted. And, you know, the Ring of Fire seems to be going active around the world. Earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, things are lighting up out there. The Bible says earthquakes in diverse places. Great message you brought tonight. Now, Brother Robert, I want you to tell people how they can make contact with your ministry. You've also written some books. Tell us about that and how people can go about ordering those.
Oh, actually, I consider it my kind of flagship book. This is one that when I was young, I knew I would write this book. But I didn't know what it would be, but I knew I'd write a book and it would be important. And it's called 100 Ways That God Speaks to You. That's the title God gave me. And in writing, I realized that God had caused so many things in my life to happen that they could be stories in that book. And it's a book written to convey like how even as a Catholic, I was raised Catholic and taught like, oh, God doesn't speak to us. But then God was speaking to me, and I didn't understand what was happening. But, by the power of God, I was moved to do certain things, and I just experienced things. I once interrupted what was about to become a murder. That was one of my first and early experiences, moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't understand at all what it was then, but I heard a voice that was talking to me that night, telling me what to do. You know, now is the time to run. Which I wanted to do from the beginning, right? So, you know, that story's in there, things that happened to me in the Marines. And there are now four books in the series, but the first one is free. It's called, 100 Ways God Speaks to You. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books.Google, and also Kobo.com. So you can get that. There's print books if you want, but you have to pay for that. So, but the ebook is free, 100 Ways God Speaks to You. It's like 464 pages, a lot of great stories. The reviews are very good. And it's written because, you know, when I started YouTube ministry in January of 2008, you know, one of the first things people started asking me all the time was, you know, how do you hear from God? How do you hear from God? And when I meet people who are asking me that and I sit with them, I quickly learn like, no, God is speaking to this person. He just didn't realize that was it, you know? Oh, well, I had a dream. Yeah, that's God speaking to you. Oh, well, this happened and I just knew. Yeah, that was the hand of God moving your heart to understand, like, it's time to skedaddle, right? You know, God is speaking to people and they don't realize it. They don't realize they have this relationship. And I think some of that is the devil occluding us, that the false teachings going around. But God speaks in so many ways. He said, just call this book 100 Ways God Speaks to You. Because, and the truth is there are more than that. You know, God can speak to us in so many different ways. And the book is written to make people look at it and understand like, yeah, I've had a similar experience to this. That was God speaking to me. Yeah, that definitely the outcome is something God would do. So, you know, that's what the purpose of the book. And so people read it and they're very encouraged. And I think at some point people will even begin to use it for Bible study groups, Christian groups, you know, just to read through the stories and then to talk about it. You know, like, have you ever had an experience like this? Do you think God speaks like this? Or what do you think about it? You know, and then just to open people's minds to see how big God is and how he's so much involved in our lives. Like people just overlook it sometimes. Sometimes it's something very simple. So that book is free. And also another book is called Four Prayers for the End Time. That one's also free. And then if you click through to my author page on Amazon, you'll see all the titles I've written. I'm writing a new one right now, which is another one of these things about the far future. And it's called A Bridge Through Time. And it's another one that's based on a dream. And this is one where, you know, I had the dream. And at the end, this is write this into a book. So this is a message that, you know, God wants to be sent out. And it's called A Bridge Through Time. And I've been having a lot of fun writing it, but it's been much slower, partially because I was taking the Swedish classes. And that was one of the reasons God told me not to take to finish the classes and, you know, get back to writing books. So, Yeah, that's there. And donations I receive through PayPal, robertavila@email.com. And I also have Cash App, and that's $ No Jesus, No Peace, which is also my YouTube channel, K-N-O-W, no Jesus like that, both times, No Jesus, No Peace. And on Facebook, I really like to fellowship. I have a lot of friends on Facebook, and I share a lot of things there, new dreams and visions, etc. Robert A. Avila, and my icon is this little blue cartoon. It makes it very identifiable. There's a lot of Robert Avilas in the world. So I have my middle initials there as well, Robert A. Avila. So you can find me there. And that's it, Shannon.
Fantastic. My friend, always an honor to be here with you. We love and appreciate you. And the month is wide open. So get me your next date and let's get you on the schedule whenever you're ready.
Okay, brother.
Sound good?
All right.
Love and appreciate you. We'll get this up blessed, here brother. Shortly. And talk to you soon, brother. God bless you. Thank you for coming on today. Great word.
Yeah, God bless you and all yours.
Folks, that was Robert Avila. Okay. We're going to save this, and we're going to be back tonight, God willing, at 7 p.m. Eastern. Hope to see you then for the evening marathon. All these shows you can get over at our website, omegamanradio.com. Have a great day. Love you all. We'll see you tonight.